Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, in the green scene today, we're going to look at the future of winter sports with the glaciers melting alarmingly and new and fascinating information about the migration of humpback whales and the search for a mate outside of their tribe. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Let's talk about melting glaciers first of all. Now, currently, I know in some of the resorts, a shortage of snow.
Yeah, I know. Hard to believe it today in Ireland. It's so cold, but it has been an incredibly warm winter all across Europe, and we are seeing those effects in ski resorts. But this is part of a bigger picture. So research that was done and published in the journal Science a couple of weeks ago looked at over 200,000 mountain glaciers. So it didn't look at Antarctica or Greenland, and essentially modelled what's likely to happen to those. And what they found is that at our kind of most optimistic climate scenario, which is about staying 1.5 degrees with 1.5 degrees of warming, about 50% of those glaciers are likely to disappear in this century. But of course, that's still an optimistic scenario, and with possibly a more realistic one of about 2.7 degrees of warming, we could lose up to 70% of those. And our glaciers in Europe are kind of the most vulnerable because those Alpine and Pyrenean glaciers are quite low, many of them.
Yeah.
So they're likely to be kind of first in the firing line. And I think we're already seeing those impacts today.
So, skiing, think of the past, or will they just make artificial snow?
Well, I mean, of course, they are making artificial snow. I mean, we've just had the Slalom World Cup in Switzerland. They used vast quantities of artificial snow there. But certainly in terms of natural snow, most common ski resorts by the kind of latter half of the century are not likely to have snow. I mean, Beijing, in terms of the last Winter Olympics last year, they had to use huge amounts of artificial snow. And it is problematic. You know, there's a huge energy cost. You're shooting water into the air and using energy to freeze it. You have to pump the water. And of course, there is the water itself. I mean, the Beijing Winter Olympics used the equivalent of daily drinking water for 900 million people to make that snow. And these are in areas which are prone to water shortages. So yeah, that's going to be challenging.
Yeah. And also water supplies, which have been created by the glaciers, where the water forms as ice, it in springtime then melts and provides an abundance of water into the reservoirs. I mean, will that process then stop?
Well, of course it will if the glaciers are gone. And I mean, that water is a critical part of, for example, California's agricultural, agriculture is dependent on glacial water, and the Sierra Nevadas in Spain, much of that area's drinking water comes from glaciers. So, you know, they are a really important part of all of the things that we use water for. They're part of that water
cycle. Imagine
in
Norway, where they have a huge hydroelectric industry based on melting ice turning to water. If that went, they'd be, you know, shy on power.
Absolutely. And I mean, this, you know, there's likely to be quite a lot of this warming in the next 30 years. So while that can seem really far away, I think the fact that we are seeing these challenges now is kind of a reminder that our glaciers are important in terms of our way of life. So we need to think about them.
And in terms of the locations for Winter Olympics, looking over the past dozen or more, how many of those would actually be able to re-host
Yeah, well, by the end of the century, only about half are likely to have enough snow. So yeah, I mean, really, the common ski areas, many of them are going to be vulnerable to warm weather, I suppose.
And then if you do make artificial snow, if it's too warm, sure, it'll turn to slush.
It does. And it has impacts on biodiversity as well. But I mean, I know I'm always talking about biodiversity, but these interventions do impact sensitive environments. We have things like alpine flowers and creatures that are in tune with nature. Yeah. And of course, if we change things, we're going to impact there. And artificial snow can be very hard and compacted, so it can impact on the soil density. So all of these things have consequences. Yeah.
What about rising sea levels as a result? How would we be impacted given our coastal cities?
I mean, this research didn't look at the Antarctic, the big glaciers like the Thwaite Glacier. So mountain glaciers could contribute maybe up to around 100 millimetres of sea level rise. So it doesn't sound huge, or 4 inches. But of course, we know with every small amount of sea level rise, coastal erosion, flooding, storms. And of course, those are all things with our sea facing cities we're incredibly vulnerable to in Ireland.
Meantime, below the surface below of the sea, surface. We've got the roaming humpbacked whale.
Yeah, I know, humpback whales. And they're such iconic, wonderful animals. And they're found all over the globe. You know, they do these amazing leaps out of the air and they have this beautiful whale song. And we can even see them here in Ireland off the south coast. But this is research looking at humpback whales that live in the Pacific Ocean. And what whales do is they have an annual migration. So they spend the summers up in the polar Arctic regions, feeding on krill, filling up. And then they do this huge migration down to the tropical latitudes where they breed and have their babies. And different populations have different areas that they spend their time in. So up this group, they're up in kind of Alaska and the coasts of Canada. And there's different groups up there. And then they go to different places in the south. So some spend their winters in Hawaii and some spend their winters in Mexico. And researchers always thought that was two distinct groups that spent time in different summer, different winter locations. But what they found is actually by using a citizen database of whale photographs, so around 26,000 photographs that people had taken.
How do you identify a whale?
Well, you use markings on their tail usually. So it's like a fingerprint, their tail for us. So the researchers can look at these photos. And what they were able to track was at least two male whales. Then rather than just going from Canada to either Mexico or Hawaii, they went down from Alaska or Canada to Mexico. One of them then went from Mexico to Hawaii and the other one went from Hawaii to Mexico.
How fast do they swim?
So they don't swim very fast. They only swim about 4 kilometres an hour. And these journeys are 4,000 to 5,000 kilometres. Now, they did. These two whales obviously went much faster on this secondary route of their journey. So who knows what was driving them? You know, had they been rejected by females in their own breeding area? Were they following a female? How did they know where to go? I mean, it's just an incredible.
I mean, do these different groups of humpback whales actually talk to each other? I mean, do they have the same language?
Again, we thought that they didn't, but more and more now, and we've seen this in birds as well. We see songs transmitting from one population to another. So in exactly the same way we might share music with our friends, the humpbacks are also maybe spending more time together than we thought.
Okay. Now, there is the story of Moon. Tell me about Moon.
So researchers watched these whales over decades and decades. And there's a whale called Moon who was going from Canada down to Hawaii. She's been seen every year for about the last decade. But last September, as she arrived in Hawaii, scientists were perturbed because her back was shaped like an S. And they actually saw it had been broken completely. And what they worked out was that she had swum without using her tail, using breaststroke, nearly that entire journey. So very, very sad story.
Was there
really
signs of distress, though? I mean, or had she managed just to cope?
No, I think she was in distress. I mean, these whales do sometimes get hit by boats. There's a lot of cruise ships in these areas and they do think she was hit by a boat and her spine was broken. And actually, I was just looking recently, it does appear that she is no longer visible and they think maybe she has died. But, you know, I think it just again reminds us, even though these creatures are huge and they undertake these amazing feats, they're still vulnerable to things like overfishing,
climate
change.
If you're only travelling at 4 kilometres an hour, you could be whacked by a passing cruise ship, which would be travelling quite dramatically faster than that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, part of the story for me was thinking about the scientists themselves. You know, we think of them as crunching numbers, but they can be quite emotionally attached to these animals that they're monitoring for years.
They had considered maybe euthanizing a Moon, but a danger in that itself.
Yes. I mean, putting a toxic chemical into a whale, which is then, you know, once it dies, is going to be food for many ocean creatures, was seen as too dangerous. So unfortunately, they just had to sad to watch her. And I think really just get her story out as a reminder that we need to take care of even these gentle giants.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.